You read the Bible, Rick.
Talking to me?
Come along, Samwise. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's past.
So what you want?
Jesus freak.
I got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 natural scouts.
Stuntsy pitches, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
Hello and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Thursday, June 17th, 2021. This is episode number 108, and I'm Jake.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Zach.
Coming up this week, we've got our 16th Hall of Fame review. We'll be talking Zach's choice, Freddy vs. Jason. We're all going to ask the same question, why? We'll also talk some other stuff that we watched and whatever else comes up along the way. So as always, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Took a couple weeks off here, it seems like, but it's good to be back.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
I feel like if we didn't have this podcast, I feel like I would just stop watching movies.
That's possible.
I feel like I would watch movies more.
Really?
Why?
I don't know. It's like that thing, like, once the pressure's there to watch it, you kind of lose interest, but, like...
Chris, how does this put any kind of pressure on your life at
all?
Yeah,
what pressure are you talking about?
No,
we have an audience of 5. We meet whenever we feel like.
Also, my thing is, can we start plugging, like, our email again in hopes that we get an email? Because that's still something I want.
Chris, you can... You guys, you talk on this show and... Chris, can plug it whenever you want.
Plug it right now. Make a plea.
All right, fine. It's at the beginning. People will probably listen this far. Email us whatever you want. Literally, whatever you want. Just send us a email or an email. filmandloathingpodcast@gmail.com. That's filmandloathingpodcast@gmail.com.
Sell it more, Chris.
I mean, what else is there to say?
You need this fucking email, man. If you don't, you're going to kill yourself. And we're not going to have a podcast anymore.
Put that out there. Oh, my gosh.
Like,
I mean, arguably, we'd have a better one.
Ooh.
What'd you say? What'd you say, bitch?
I can't imagine this podcast without Chris.
You know what, guys? You call someone else and have them take my space, all right?
I don't want your MySpace.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll have to hold, like, open auditions, and we'll have to go, okay, which is the better movie, Parasite or Paul Blart Mall Cop? And anyone that says Parasite is automatically disqualified.
I'm just saying.
Also, I'm going to say, rank your top 10 of 2020. And if Hubie Halloween isn't one, I'm going to say, get on. Get out of here. You're not what we're looking for.
Tell us what you think of this scene, and it'll just be Adam Sandler projectile vomiting.
That was the funniest scene. That's the funniest scene of the decade so far.
And if they laugh, okay, maybe. But if they don't mouth along, Rocky Balboa style, they're out.
Oh, I lost connection.
But come on, get Chris an email.
Please. Please get me an email. Hold on one second. I gotta get a glass of water.
Okay.
You just had a whole jug of it.
Yeah, but that's like 3 days old.
Did you notice Chris...
It probably went bad by now.
Did you notice Chris's plant in the background? It kind of looks like a... Didn't it look like a person doing yoga?
I didn't even realize that he had a plant back there.
Yeah, when he comes around, I'm going to have to ask him to...
It looks like he's in Harry Potter's broom closet.
Yeah, really close. I'm really confused what his layout is. Like, I want to know what this... I think this is, like, the den, or, like, the porch.
Well, have Bluetooth headphones in, you jackass.
Chris, is that
plant? And yeah, I know.
Does that look like a person?
Alyssa? Yes, Alyssa had that plant set up right in front of the window. And I get out of work at 11 o'clock, so I come around that corner at, like, 11:30 at night, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Will you show me again? Like,
somebody's just... Yeah.
That's creepy. There's a cushion. There's a couch cushion. Yeah, it kind of does look like a person. That's crazy.
I know. She's got some shit around here, man.
And secondly, what's the room you're in? Like, where in the house is this located?
I'm in the living room. Do you guys want a grand tour? Like, I can show you around?
I kind of do.
Not really. Is this what your living room is like?
You're not going to use the Audacity volume for this. This is going to sound shaky as fuck. We have a little nook right here.
Yeah, say describe what you're seeing for the listeners at home.
All right, so I'm in the living room right now, and there's this little nook
these
here.
These do not look like tall ceilings.
If I'm really stretching, I can touch the ceiling. We're on the third floor, and we have third floor, though. I mean... Dude, I'm not, like, 6.5 feet tall. I don't care.
Just saying, that's a point off. Not a lot of headspace.
You stand up back there, and you try and reach for the ceiling. I want to see how much taller your ceilings are than mine, where you feel high and mighty.
I'm not saying that I don't have the same problem, that I wouldn't give my own place the same thing. I'm just giving it to you as well.
All right, fine. So this right here is a little nook. When I come around this corner... This is our living room. We have slanted ceilings just about everywhere, but we have a ton of those, like, sunlight windows throughout the entire apartment.
Chris, we call that... Chris, a couple vocab words for you. We call that an enclosed attic space or a livable attic space, and that's a skylight.
Slanty window. Fine, whatever. It does the same exact thing. This is the bed... the living... fucking bathroom.
You don't even know where you are.
We have a vanity.
Oh, I know. That sucks.
Toilet, the Iron Throne.
Solid.
We have this little nook right here with, like, a lot of storage space.
So this is a half bath? Nope, that's a full bath.
No, we have a shower right here, but this is the smallest shower I've ever seen. Like, the head in the shower comes to, like, right here on me.
Oh, yeah, it's because you don't have the head space.
You got a slanty window, I see.
We have a slanting window in there.
Okay, so Chris has just left the bathroom. He's going through the living room.
We have on our transition through the bedroom, we have a little nook right here as well.
What is that? That's so random.
It's a diamond window. It's like a diamond-shaped window.
That's so random.
You gotta be honest. So far, I'm not really seeing this as much of an upgrade from...
Oh, okay. What's all the way back here? Whoa.
This right here is bedroom, but Alyssa's sleeping. Or at least trying to, so I'll leave her be.
Go in real quick.
This is our second bedroom. It's basically the same thing, but on the other side. And as you can see, another slanty window.
Slanty window, nice.
And this is the closet. Like, this closet is huge with a light inside.
Have you never had the light inside?
I've never had a light inside my closet. I've never had, like, a big closet before. Are you kidding me, dude?
Well, you also wear, like...
what am I, part of the elite?
The same pair of cargo shorts 365 days a year and four ripped-up EMEA t-shirts.
Heck yeah, dude. This right here is our galley-style kitchen. Here, let me get to the other side.
This is so funky.
It's an oddly shaped... place, but it's got character, you know? So, this right here, another nook with a door that leads out to our exit area.
Okay.
And then this is our galley style kitchen.
I've never seen a kitchen like that. That's wild.
I know, but it's kind of cool, you know? And then we look out
this
window.
And you wanted to live here?
Where the river is. Yeah, of course, dude. Why wouldn't I?
I like all the plants you got everywhere.
That's what Alyssa's doing. She's the plant lady.
Where's your Sports Illustrated posters gonna go?
We haven't decorated as much as I would like to hope. I'm trying to convince Alyssa to put my giant Fury poster up on the wall starring Brad Pitt with the tank, but we'll see how that goes.
I thought you were talking about a Nick Fury poster.
I wish.
Will you get a Nick Fury fathead for your wall?
I would gladly. Dude, I used to have the Ray Lewis fathead, and it was one of the best things that I've ever had in my entire life.
I remember that.
I had a Vince Young fathead.
Sorry, dude. That sucks.
I loved it.
I forget who I had. I must have had Larry Johnson.
Or Larry Johnson,
it probably,
yeah.
It was probably Matt Cassel when he was on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Dude, fatheads were definitely not popular then.
Do you think you could get a fathead today? Do you think they still make them?
You could get... They used to have, like, customizable fatheads, so you could get a fathead made of yourself if you really want one.
Let's see. Dog the Bounty Hunter fathead.
Oh, that would be tight.
So, Chris, is your apartment an L?
Yeah, kind of.
It seems that way. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like an L, but it has like a couple little offsets from it, so it's not just like.
So you come, through the front door, and then you walk into the kitchen, right?
So we have, it's like we're on the third floor, so you go up the first set of stairs to get to the second. You turn, and then we have a little kind of little entryway, with like a coat rack and stuff, and go up another set of stairs and get to our apartment. And if you continue to go straight, and if you continue to go straight, you're walking straight through the kitchen. And if you turn left and go around that corner, you're heading through the living room.
So you're almost like a little candy cane.
Yeah, kinda.
You go through the kitchen, then you had the second bedroom, then your bedroom, then you round to the corner, living room, bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is an old town?
Yep. We have there's a lot more space in this apartment. The ceilings in this apartment are shorter, but there's so many more benefits to this. Like, A, it's cheaper. Two, our landlord is on site, like 24/7, because she's on site, and we are like, it's a lot cooler of an area. I mean, Pat's Pizza isn't a walk down the road, but that's fine.
How long have you been in there now?
15 days.
Oh, okay. Nice. So you're getting settled in now.
Kinda. Me and Alyssa, she doesn't want to decorate without me, and I don't want to decorate without her, and we haven't had much time together to, like, just set shit up yet.
Yep.
Because, like, if I just do it, it's going to be set in a way that she doesn't like, and vice versa. So we're kind of, like, waiting for each other to make sure we get that done. So we're setting some time to do that soon.
Solid.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Zach, can I get a tour of your house?
No.
Are you on your laptop or are you on your desktop?
I'm on my laptop.
Just carry your desktop around, dude.
No.
Oh, ass bitch.
You don't get to see Noah's room.
Is he sleeping?
You get to see Noah's room?
No, he's not here.
Oh, let's go see it then.
It's a school night. Wait, he doesn't have school, I don't think. It's gotta be summer vacation by now.
Isn't it summer vacay?
Do I look like I'm in first grade? I don't know.
No, but it looks like you're dating somebody that has a first grader.
It doesn't mean I know when he goes to school.
You're responsible. No, I don't know.
You're not going to any PTA meetings?
No. Mm-hmm. Never.
Never? Like, even for your own kids?
No.
Wow. I feel like that'd be, like, the first thing I'd do if I ever had a kid.
I feel like mom would go never to PTA went to PTA.
Get ready for PTA meetings?
Yeah, I would go to PTA meetings before my kid even got to school, just so I could get to know the crowd.
Feel them out.
Feeling it out.
Yeah, pull some like Game of Thrones political type shit, take the lead, so that when my kid gets in there, he's set. he's going to have no problems.
Gonna
I assume
be
it's going to be a he.
I definitely don't think our mother ever went to a PTA meeting.
My mom didn't. You kidding me?
I'm not even sure where they held the PTA meetings.
Well, I'm not even Your sure those are a real ball? Thing that happened.
Were there even PTA meetings? Did Bangor have those?
If they're not PTA meetings, I'm setting one up.
Because your kid is going to be so bullied by me.
I fucking hope so. Make him tough, dude.
Zach, would you go to a PTA meeting, Paul Thomas Anderson meeting?
Unless he's going to be there, no.
That's what I'm saying. He's the speaker.
What if it was not a Paul Thomas Anderson meeting, but it was a Parental Teacher Association meeting, but Paul Thomas Anderson was part of that same PTA that you would be a part of?
Still wouldn't go.
Not enough for you. Hmm. Greedy bastard.
Yeah, I got lots going on. You think I can squeeze in what the kids are eating for lunch at school? I don't give a shit.
Feed them a raccoon for all I care.
Is that what they talk about? Eating raccoons?
I can only assume.
I mean, once I assume the head of the PTA, that's all we're going to talk about. I assume they talk about, like, budgets and, like, school dances and shit.
Oh, yeah, I definitely don't care about that.
I bet they talk about, like, peanut allergies and, like, I can picture you standing up in the, like, if you were ever at a PTA meeting for your kid and they were, like, talking about peanut allergies and shit, I could picture you standing up and being like, let's weed out the week, strictly peanut butter every day.
Well, I definitely have a different philosophy on it. That one kid should adapt to the rest of the school. The rest of the school should not adapt to that one kid. It's so stupid.
Exposure therapy.
If you get exposed to peanuts in the air and you die, you should just fucking stay home.
Just fucking die, just man, already.
Grind up a little bit of peanut every day and just put it into his food until one day he's eating strictly peanuts.
It would work. I think exposure therapy has been...
They would die.
No, I'm almost positive exposure therapy has been proven to help peanut allergies.
Yeah, but, like, what about, like, the super severe cases where, like, if they have a little bit...
You would start at much lower dosage, obviously, but you could still do it.
Once you survive anaphylactic shock 3 times, like, you're fine. You can't have it again.
Probably because you instantaneously die. You don't even go into anaphylactic shock. It's just like,
you're
there
yeah.
1 second, you're not the next.
Hey, I just said you don't have it anymore, okay?
Because this would be my message.
I'm just talking about a way to cure anaphylactic shock here, okay?
Death, yeah.
This would be my message for all the parents at the PTA meeting. I'd say, listen. Mm-hmm. The weak should fear the strong, alright?
Dodgeball is instituted at every PE class. That would be great.
Zach, your kid's more than happy, you know? I'm more than happy to let your kid go off in the corner and paint butterflies on a napkin, but don't be surprised when my kid takes that napkin and rips it in half.
Your kid's gonna get home and be like, he's gonna be like, yeah, today some kid was drawing butterflies on a napkin and I ripped it in half. And you should be like, what, was he acting like a little bitch? He's gonna be like, yeah, and you'd be like, good job, kid.
Yeah. That's exactly what's gonna happen.
You're fucked.
Yeah, speaking of, why don't you tell us about your pick, Zach, this week?
Hold on.
Oh my god.
What's he gonna do? Is he going to grab his, like, Jason Voorhees doll or something?
Is he gonna Oh, I thought he was going to grab, like, the box set or something. All right, so tell us all about it.
Versus Jason is a great movie.
Okay, but you gave it, like, 1.5, 2 stars on last time you watched it.
Again, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
No. Who cares?
Well, this might be the lowest rate. This could be the lowest rated film that someone's nominated.
Well, I can tell you it's not a 1.5 now.
Just say, because Chris has got the record with his 3.5 on his own nomination.
We still should have gotten to the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so the story here. I was talking to someone at work. I don't remember why we were talking about it. We were talking about Midsommar. Oh, I was talking about, like, the idea of a defined life cycle and, like, euthanizing people at the age of 75 and so on and so forth.
Right, as you do.
I said, yeah, like in that movie Midsommar. And he goes, oh, I haven't seen that. Is it good? I said, yeah, it's really good. And he said, is it scary? I said, depends on your definition of scary. I said, it's effective at what it does. He said, well, what does that mean? I said, just watch it. And we started talking about movies that scared us. And I said, the first movie that ever scared me as a child was Freddy vs. Jason. Because I was 7 years old when this movie came out. And so for whatever reason, my mother let me watch it. And I was terrified.
So all I'm gathering from what you said so far is that this pick was based off of pure nostalgia.
Sure.
I was talking to Mom the other day, and we were talking about the Saw movies. And I said, I can't believe that you let us watch that so young. I told her, I used to be afraid. I would have fears that someone was going to kidnap me and just torture me like that. So I had this.
Oh my gosh.
I had this insane fear of being tortured. And Mom goes, she's like, you know, I just wanted you guys to watch that stuff so that you knew there was nothing to be afraid of. And I was like, you failed. I was afraid all the time I was going to be kidnapped and tortured.
So the way that our apartment used to be in K-Part was here. You get to the top of the stairs and there's my bedroom. So this is why I started sleeping with the door shut, because I always felt like in the deep shadows, like on the staircase, there was something that was going to be standing there. And for whatever reason, I remember this vividly, like convincing myself that, like, I wasn't going to be attacked after 2 a.m. Like, I don't know how I came up with this time, but I was always like, oh, it's 2 a.m. It's past 2 a.m. It's too close to people being awake. Like, I won't be attacked now. Before 2 a.m., you're fucked. After 2 a.m., you're fine. So I would wake up in the middle of the night to pee, and I would always look to see what time it was. And if it was before 2 a.m., I did not get up. If it was after 2 a.m., I would. because of Freddy versus Jason.
Ironclad.
I was definitely petrified of Freddy Krueger, because I think around the time I watched that movie was around the time. Do you guys remember ever hearing the rumor as a kid that if you died in your dreams, you die in real life?
Yeah, that's real. That happened.
No, it was from that old movie about, like, the video game. Where they played the video games, and if you died in the game, you died for real.
I have that movie. We should have reviewed it.
I think we should review that.
Which game is that?
The movie's called Stay Alive.
Oh, interesting. I heard of that.
So, fun facts about Freddy vs. Jason. It was supposed to come out in 1986. it was in development since, like, 1986. But they couldn't, like, agree on what would happen. And so, basically, Friday the 13th, 8, 9, and 10 were all made just so that New Line retained the rights to Jason, so they could keep making Freddy vs. Jason, because, like, it would happen eventually. But they made 8, 9, and 10 just so they could keep the rights to the character.
That's wild. Appearance of Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger.
Well, it's also the most recent Freddy movie.
That's not the most recent.
They did a reboot, and they got Nikki, what's his name? The guy from
Jackie Watcher. Earl Haley.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, but he can't be in the reboot. That wouldn't make any sense.
Okay, but still his last appearance.
I thought this movie was a lot of fun.
I got a question before we get into it. Has Freddy Krueger always had those, like, super cheesy one-liners?
Yes, that's the point of Freddy Krueger.
That's one of his things? Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be sure before I critique the script.
No, that's his thing.
Okay.
Has Jason Voorhees always been such a romantic?
Yes.
Okay, good. So it's on. So it's all on. Okay, good. Before I start critiquing the script, I needed to know.
I'm just saying, if he actually legitimately had a line where he was just like, "Man, the torpedoes, ting," and that was meant to be 100% serious.
So in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, this girl is like watching TV, and like Freddy like comes out of the TV, and he says, "Welcome to primetime, bitch," and then he kills her. So he's always had some great lines.
This is, I couldn't help but think of Scary Terry throughout this entire thing.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm just like, "I'm Scary Terry, bitch." But as you were saying, this movie is fun.
It is fun. You're right.
Oh, no. I was just saying, asking you to reiterate on that, I guess, because I had a different experience.
If anything, like, the one thing that has always stuck with me that I remember, like, vividly is, like, that opening, one of the opening scenes that has, like, the great, probably one of the greatest kills in any of these franchises, where it's not good enough to stab this guy like 10 times. He has to fucking fold him up in the bed and just like crack his body in half.
Yeah.
The only thing I really remembered about this movie was I remember the very beginning with the huge pair of boobs. Yeah. And her getting stabbed through the tree. And then I remember the ending where Jason Voorhees is holding Freddy Krueger's head and Freddy winks. Other than that, I remember nothing about this movie.
So the very beginning and the very end, everything in the middle was just a complete blur to you.
Completely gone.
I will say, like, going back to rewatch, I couldn't really, like, remember the setup. But I actually think the setup's, like, pretty decent. It's a lot better than it needs to be. Which is like, so Freddy brings back Jason from hell to scare the kids on Elm Street so that they remember who Freddy is. Because Freddy can't exist if you don't remember who he is. That's the whole thing. And that's actually a pretty decent setup.
My one big question.
This movie's pretty philosophical. Like the fear of being forgotten.
That's what they're getting at.
It's universal.
I'm sure that was very, very intentional. My biggest question is, Jason Voorhees, when you see his body, is very decomposed. I want to know how he reforms his physical body to be as solid as he is.
Because he's not some little bitch.
He walks. Okay, first off, he's in great shape. He walks everywhere. And he's always lifting heavy things.
First of all, Chris, we have no juxtaposition from where Crystal Lake is in Elm Street, but we know he walked all the way there. We got to assume that's a good couple hundred mile walk.
Okay, couple hundred miles. I assume that it was like the next town over.
Yeah, we don't know that.
I assumed it was like Bangor Brewer, or at the very most, Bangor Chris, Ellsworth.
You think you can go from Bangor to Brewer and just find a lake house somewhere? No, yeah. There's no lake from Bangor to Brewer.
Pushaw, dude.
That's not Bangor to Brewer.
I think it's going the other direction. Yeah.
Isn't Pushaw attached to Bro? Whatever. Whatever. Anyways, go, okay, Pushaw to go to Bangor to Orno.
Yeah.
It's not a couple hundred miles.
Okay, well, first of all, we know that Crystal Lake is in Maine.
Wait, what?
Crystal Lake is a lake in Maine, in the movies.
Okay.
And we can assume that Elm Street is in some kind of small Midwestern town. So, yeah, a couple hundred miles.
How can
miles.
We assume it's Midwestern?
That's just what it looks like.
It looks like every fucking town.
It looks like the neighborhood in Home Alone, which is in the Midwest.
Curveball, Home Alone, and Nightmare on Elm Street take place in the same universe, in the same town.
I guess the thing, the one thing I do like about this movie is that it doesn't waste time with anything. It's basically just kind of go right up until the end, which is basically kind of like what you want from this. Like, don't really need to waste time. Like, I kind of agree. Like, I think the setup is actually fairly decent for like what it is. And it's actually, and I think there's like a lot of interesting stuff with like the medication that the kids have been secretly taking. Though I don't know how they duped a town for that long. They're secretly giving medication to kids, but they are.
Well, I mean, like, how do they hide the fact that all of these parents killed a child molester years ago? And they conceal that for 20 years.
Okay, did they conceal it or did they just turn a blind eye because they killed the child molester?
Well, they don't tell anyone about it.
This is like, isn't the dad like literally like, so there's a scene where he's like grinding up a pill and putting it in her tea or whatever. So like, weren't you assume that he did that for years without her ever knowing?
We would have to assume that, yeah.
Well, I guess that's, this movie's pretty ridiculous, so I guess it's on par.
Is Elm Street the entirety of this town? Because I feel like if everybody knows about it, why don't they just move away from Elm Street?
Chris, you fucking idiot. Did you learn anything?
Not particularly, no.
It doesn't matter where you go. He will find you.
Okay. So how does he get introduced to his victims? Or does he just pick people at random?
So, well, there's literally like 7 movies of backstory that you're missing.
I'm okay with that.
But
would you like to explain?
He's picking the children of those people that murdered him. Right? So that's your first movie. And then after that, it's just...
Okay. See, that's where I take issue with this. Because he always has a fresh crop of people to kill, right?
Yeah, that's the first one. After that, he's back. He's fucking ready to go. He's just going to start killing kids now.
Well, that's... Okay, so he's just... After a certain point, he's killing people at random.
I wouldn't say it's random. It's mostly all high school kids.
Okay, fine. He has a demographic, but he generally...
Like any good serial killer, he has a demographic.
Specifically the hot kids who are having sex and drinking alcohol.
Johnny Depp and Patricia Arquette.
Bingo.
I knew Johnny Depp, didn't know Patricia Arquette.
She's in the third one.
Oh, well. Realistically, are you okay with the outcome of this fight?
Of JC and beating Freddy?
Yeah. But, like, how he beats Freddy. Like, he didn't do it on his own. He couldn't do it on his own.
You're referring to them pulling Freddy from the dream world?
Not just pulling Freddy from the dream world, but also throwing that fire and distracting him from basically decapitating Jason at the last second. Like, are you okay with his victory, or does it feel tainted? Because to me, it felt very... I don't know. It felt like it wasn't a true victory, which is what I really wanted. It felt like Kong versus Godzilla. Like, we all know who the winner of that was, but there wasn't a true victory because nobody ended up losing.
Well, I suppose that's the problem when you have two immortal figures fighting. Like, neither one of them is gonna die.
I guess.
I think they should have just, like, fucked at the end, and that was the ending.
Did you say they should have fucked at the end?
Yeah.
Turns into a softcore porn movie.
Yeah, they're just fucking going at it. Hardcore.
Jason's decomposing body.
This is one thing that I was thinking of, right? So, like, the kids side with Jason because Freddy's coming after them, right? And if Jason can kill Freddy, then Freddy will be coming after them. But what makes them think that, like, Jason would just stop coming after them at that point?
I think they thought they had a better chance. I think everybody had an agreement in this movie that Freddy was a bigger threat than Jason. Because Jason was physically there, but Freddy could physically be there, but also could be there in his dreams.
Sure, once you can't sleep, you're fucked.
Yeah. I think that Freddy is the stronger of the two. And I think this movie definitely reflects that.
Well, it's kind of unfair because Freddy has a personality, whereas Jason is just a ruthless killing machine.
What happens to his mom? Like, that's something I wanted to know.
She gets beheaded.
She gets beheaded. But, like, she doesn't, like, make any appearances in any of the Friday the 13th movies after the fact.
She's the killer in the first movie, and she's beheaded.
Okay. So she doesn't have any, like, you know, crazy powers like Jason.
I mean, Jason doesn't really have any crazy powers until, like, part 6.
Jeez, a crow. There's 6.
There's 10. But
I know, but 6 seemed like a lot.
So it's not until part 6 that he's resurrected by a bolt of lightning, and then that's when he kind of becomes this, like, crazy monster.
What? What? Can you explain to me? Can you explain that to me?
So, Tommy goes, and so he's an adult now after was terrorized by Jason as a kid in Friday the 13th part 4. And he goes to Jason's grave to kind of end things once and for all. And he shoves a metal stake into Jason. And as he does that, that metal stake is hit by lightning. And Jason is electrocuted back to life.
Hate when that happens.
That's wild. Good for Jason. Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, I was rooting for him.
I do have to say that I do like a couple, like, individual shots from this movie. The one where Jason's on fire and they have a shot from up above as he's walking through the cornfield. Mm-hmm. I really like that one. I thought that was really cool. And there was one other one. I like the semi-slow-mo of Jason popping up out of the water because you can kind of see, like, the water bubble break right over his head as he rises.
I was just reminded, it's been like 9 or 10 days since I've seen this, but I was just thinking about one of the most ridiculous things in the movie is when, what's the kid's name? Bobby from the mental house?
Yeah.
Bobby?
It's always Bobby.
Bobby seeks out Nicole?
Sure.
Heather? No. What's the girl's name from Halloween?
Lori,
thank you. That's Jamie Lee Curtis. So Bobby goes to find Lori, and he's like got something super serious to tell her, right, about Freddy and everything. And he's about to blow the lid off everything because this is super serious. And just as before he's about to tell her, Lori's friend shows up and is like, "Stop talking about this. Let's dance." And they're like, "You're right. Let's dance. This can wait. Let's dance."
I don't remember what scene. I think it's when they're in the basement and, like, she's falling asleep and then Freddy shows up. But it's, like, there's one of the scenes, one of, like, Chris was alluded to, one of Freddy's classic one-liners, where he says, that's the thing about the first time, it's usually a little messy.
Yeah.
That's good. The reason I part of the reason, anyways, is I thought Chris might enjoy this movie. Well, this is the classic example that Chris always brings up of, you know, there are movies that are trying to entertain, and then there's art. And this is one of those movies that's just trying to entertain. If you just shut that brain off and enjoy, you probably have a great time.
I honestly thought you were going to say this is art.
This is art.
Oh my gosh. I can say this is pure entertainment.
Except for that CGI, like, Freddy bug, which looks terrible, but...
awful. But I love that it's sort of like the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland, and I think at one point it's smoking a hookah.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing. When they're in that thing and they're, like, trying to find the medicine, and so they're, like, running around, they go into the control room, and as soon as everyone leaves, the guy's like, yo, jaybreak. It's like, who'd be smoking pot in that moment?
I also like that that's their plan. It's not like, let's figure out a way to beat Freddy. They're like, nope, let's just go back to forgetting he ever existed. Let's take all these drugs.
Exactly. Don't face your problems. Hide them with drugs.
What a good thing to tease the viewer.
I like when they have to give Jason mouth to mouth, and the guy goes, I can't. I have asthma.
And she's like, Bobby. And he's like, what? He has asthma. Do it.
So there are some moments, though, like, okay, so you do think that everything with Freddy is intentionally supposed to be comedic. Like, even the scene when he's flinging Jason around his hell lair.
Yeah.
Yes, that's supposed to be funny?
I would assume so, yeah. Most of the the Nightmare on Elm Street movies are comedic.
Okay. Is it considered a horror comedy?
I would consider it one.
I mean, your definition is a little bit different than other
people's definition. What I think is funny, though, a lot of people might find horrifying, so...
That's true.
That was what I was getting at. Or alluding to.
Cannibal Holocaust is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Shut up.
I mean, you probably laugh. Shut up. You probably laugh out loud at the Bjork Stalker video.
I do like that video.
You probably laughed at the Poughkeepsie tapes, dude.
It's a funny movie. It's called Poughkeepsie. How could you not laugh at that?
It's a fair assessment.
Yeah, so much of this I had forgotten, and it was an okay revisit, but...
I want both of you to admit that it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be.
No, it was as bad as I thought it was going to be, but I can just tolerate it now.
I'm not going to lie, I had higher hopes. It wasn't that, like, it was bad, it's just I remember watching it when I was a kid, and this was the movie where I saw my first, like, full frontal nude.
Yeah, good stuff.
Also, I love, like, in that opening party scene, like, just the guy that gets folded up in the bed, just how obnoxious he is.
That is something that's funny about this, is, like, it's almost like they just lean hardcore into the cliches, and they're like, we know what this is, like, let's just lean into it. Like,
where he's like, tell you, like, get upstairs, we're going to bed, and she's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm tired. And he's like, don't make me ask you again.
And, like, walks up the stairs. And then after they have sex, she tries to cuddle with him, and he's like, don't, you know I don't want to be touched after sex. Just like every character is so over the top. Who's the police officer? I recognize him from somewhere.
You recognize CSI? Him from... No, he's from Adam Sandler movie, The Longest Yard. No. No, he's nope, from... Nope. He's from...
he's in something.
A Scary Movie.
He's is that in what
Scary
it is?
Movie. The one where they spoof I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, is that... He's. I feel like... Isn't he in a TV show? Is he in Charmed?
He looks like a guy that's in Charmed, but he's not in Charmed.
He's not in Charmed.
That would be an odd thing to like. That's a deep cut, right?
Well, I mean, I've seen so much Charmed in my life.
I'm pretty sure I've seen the whole series, so. Are you sure he's not in Charmed?
I'm positive.
I definitely know him from a TV show.
He's in White Chicks?
Nope, that's not what I'm thinking of.
Nope, he is in Charmed. He's one of the detectives in Charmed, but he looks like Leo, who's in Charmed.
He does look like Leo. Okay, I knew he was in Charmed, though. But I never would have arrived at the detective. Oh, this guy plays a lot of detectives.
This guy's got a real knack for detecting.
He really does.
Yeah, I should rewatch Charmed.
I've honestly thought about it a lot.
Not intently watch it, but like just throw it on while you do other things.
I think they're coming out with a Blu-ray at the end of the year.
For the Is that like series. A notable TV show for you guys as kids?
It's like my mom's favorite TV show. We watched it all the time.
Seriously?
Yeah. Dude, a lot of
I remember TV,
and they were it was on TNT.
I remember summer
TNT.
Every summer from probably fourth grade to high school. Every summer, every morning started the exact same way. 7 to 10 AM I was watching TNT, the fucking back-to-back-to-back. We went Charmed, Buffy, Angel.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's the triad right there.
Dude, Holy Trinity. I remember there being a lot of that, and then also every summer we'd watch Full House. And
from 12 to 1 in the afternoon on ABC Family.
Like Full House was in there. Definitely Boy Meets World.
1 to 2 on ABC Family.
Saved by the Bell was in there.
That was on in the morning on TBS. ABC Family.
That's right, that was on TBS.
That's incredible. My mom used to make us watch Angel, and then there was a show where these people got stuck on an island, but it was before Lost, and it was super cheesy. I can't remember what it was, but
I have no idea what show that is.
My mom watched the same kind of TV show.
I never really liked Angel. I just always like it was just always on.
I don't think I've really watched it.
Like, all right, I'll watch it. That's fine.
But definitely Buffy and definitely Charmed. But going back to Freddy vs. Jason, I will say, while I don't particularly like the movie or even these characters, I do really want to buy the Friday the 13th box set and watch through them all.
It's worth it.
There was that one scene in the beginning where they referenced an old movie where they had, like, the tendons coming out of the feet and he was working them like a puppet. Like, that looked horrifying to me.
Yeah, I love the amount... I always love the amount of blood that's in these movies. Like, when the bed gets folded in half and she sees the blood pooling into the bathroom.
I don't even think the human body has that much blood.
I was gonna say, like, it's like someone's just pouring buckets of it.
Especially, like, if you're in the bed, then, like, the sheets would absorb most of it.
Or it would just pool at the bottom and, like, not really spill out.
Like, what? If I've learned anything from Saw, it's that the human body has 10 quarts of blood.
Right.
And it can operate with less, with half of that. This is wild. I gotta watch Spiral.
I do too. I really want to check it out.
Is that out already?
It's in theaters.
VOD.
I can rent it.
That's not one of the movies that got an HBO release?
No.
Okay.
It was only like that one distribution company that did the HBO deal. Warner Brothers. Yeah, thank you.
But you can watch the new Conjuring movie if you wanted.
I'm good. I'm not gonna say I'm out on horror movies, but I'm not like as into them anymore.
You never were.
That's not true. There was a point in time. A very small point in time. But
I'm getting a huge soft spot for like super cheesy horror movies. Like when I watched Grizzly in Cellar.
Like Freddy versus Jason.
Or Freddy versus Jason. Or I still need to watch Spookies. In Hell Comes the Frog Town.
Well, this will be an interesting question. So, Freddy versus Jason, to each of you, how many Friday the 13th movies have you seen, and how many Nightmare on Elm Street movies have you seen?
One of each. The originals.
I've only seen the first Nightmare on Elm Street, and then I've seen the I've also seen the reboot of Friday the 13th. I've seen the reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street, the first Friday the 13th, and then the one that's on the cruise ship, or that's on the ship, the boat.
Jason Takes Manhattan?
Yeah, there you go. I've seen that one.
You skipped 2 through 7?
Only because I only happened to catch that other one because it was on TV, and I just happened to watch it.
It's one of the worst ones.
I remember not being very great, yeah. I am very curious about Jason Goes to Space.
It's terrible.
I imagine it is. Is that Jason X?
Yeah.
What's the one that's in the future?
Jason X. Takes place in the year, like, 2499 for whatever fucking reason.
But it's also, so it's in the future and it's in space?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that one of the ones that they did just so they could maintain the rights to Jason Voorhees?
Yeah. If not, they revert back to Sean S. Cunningham.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah, it's okay. Ultimately, I think it's, I don't know. It's okay. I think it's definitely one of those types of movies that like you're either like very into it, like into those franchises, so like you're gonna ultimately find a soft spot, or you're just not. So therefore, it's just like
Be honest. Freddy versus Jason is the equivalent to like Fast and the Furious 9. Like, if you're into that franchise, you'll probably love Fast and the Furious 9.
Yes,
I would hate it.
Exactly.
I wouldn't say it's like that. I would say this is the equivalent of like Kong versus Godzilla.
In what way?
In the way that like each obviously has their own individual franchise, but it came out, and I know that they did one beforehand, but this came out years after those were done being produced. And sure, it may have had the intention of coming out in the 80s, but it didn't. So they're comparable in that way.
It's the same as in, like, they're just two franchises. So if you just have a soft spot for those franchises, then you're bound to have a soft spot for this.
What this movie, like, really does is that it makes me very sad. Because, like, the idea of Freddy and the idea of Jason are so well established and so solid that they could just pump one of these movies out like every 2 years like they do with Fast and the Furious, and I would watch them all. And the fact that like we haven't gotten one since like 2009 is crazy. I know why they haven't, but like still.
Why haven't they?
It's been in like legal stuff for 10 years.
Oh, okay. You're not getting your fix with the Halloween reboots? Or the, I guess
these I like reboots, those, continuations. They are their own thing.
If Mike Myers is in the mix, does he win?
No.
No?
Not to mention, like, as much as I love Halloween and Halloween 3, that franchise sucks. Like,
what?
Like, most of those sequels are not nearly as good as the sequels to Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. It's just that one is far superior to anything the other ones have ever done. But as a franchise, it's like Transformers. It's got one good one.
It's true. I mean, yeah, it's true. The original Halloween is fantastic, which I definitely think is better than... It's definitely better than the first Friday the 13th. I don't really remember Nightmare on Elm Street, so I can't say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first Friday the 13th movie sucks, so...
Yeah, I remember being kind of, like, boring, not overly exciting. But it was definitely... I mean, I definitely remember it being... like, unique and clever, like, because it was almost, it was shot on, like, a fucking micro budget. So it's definitely, like, creative and effective, and, like, what they were able to spin off of that is very impressive.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
I feel like the only time I'll ever watch this movie is every time Zach tries to sneak into the Hall of Fame.
Well, we don't know that it's not getting in now.
Oh, that's true. We don't know that.
Do we? Do we not know?
I would say this movie is a solid 3.5 out of 5.
And you, really? Oh my fucking gosh, and you shit on me so hard. You shit on me so hard for rating Gangs of New York a 3.5.
I was saying, you wouldn't even give it a 4 just so that he could have the lowest score?
That's true. It's probably a 4.5.
I fucking go.
Also, to go back. So, we've had this argument, Chris, with Kong vs. Godzilla.
Sure.
And I would argue that you can't shut off your brain for that movie and just enjoy it because the plot's too fucking complicated.
Mm-hmm.
This would be an example of... It's so easy to follow that you really don't have to be paying very close attention to understand what's going on.
And I wasn't. And I understand.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it was good.
I guess the only thing is I wish there were just some better set pieces in this. Like, I think the log cabin's okay when Jason picks up Freddy and is just sliding him through, like, the windows and taking out the walls as he goes along. But that's not bad. And I like, when he's firing the canisters and Jason's, like, dodging them as he walks. Like, that's pretty good.
I had a problem with that. Because they have that elaborate, like, construction set in the background, but it's on a fucking summer camp, dude.
What are they building?
That's what I'm saying.
You don't know what they're into.
I don't. You're right, I don't.
But like, I definitely like, but like the set piece of like in hell. Well, I mean, I guess that's sort of a classic Freddy layer, so I can understand that. But some of the stuff's like in the real world, like I just don't think it's all that exciting or interesting. So like, I wish they could have played more with that.
I mean, almost all those movies take place at a summer camp, so it's pretty much all the same setting all the time.
I mean, well, as you say, one of them is in space, one of them is in hell, one of them is in Manhattan.
One of them is not in hell. One of them is not in Manhattan. He just arrives at Manhattan in the last 10 minutes.
Okay, so one of them's on a boat. I mean, one of them's in a field, so he can get struck by lightning.
No, his grave is pretty close to the lake.
Okay, but so
duh,
I mean,
that's his home.
So I mean,
when did he officially die?
He doesn't.
I mean, he dies at the end of part 4. He dies at the end of part 6. He is resurrected in part 7. He dies at the end of part 7 because he's resurrected at the beginning of part 8.
When is he like died so that he can come back in this movie?
So this is supposed to take place after Jason goes to hell.
Okay.
But in Jason Goes to Hell, it's the spirit of Jason that possesses people to kill. It's not actually Jason.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Chris.
They made too many of these.
Get I feel with like, it, bruh.
But as soon as they settle out whatever legal issues they are, you know they're hopping on a reboot.
I can't wait.
Like, you know it's coming.
Of Freddy versus Jason?
No, just of Freddy or Jason. Like, once, whatever the legal issues are.
We gotta work our way up to that.
I'd like to see a new Friday the 13th. Like, I'm more excited about Jason Voorhees than I am about Freddy Krueger.
So you know what I want to see? I want to see a Friday the 13th movie set in the snow.
It's in Maine. The lake?
It doesn't need to be in the lake. Or maybe
somebody's
it's
getting
like
an Airbnb or some shit.
Or maybe like a snowmobiler is coming through or something. And
Jacob, this movie exists. Like, it's Wrong Turn 4.
Well, there's a fan film made of like Friday the 13th set over like the snow, and I've seen like pieces of it, and it's like pretty cool to like see that figure just like trudging through the snow. Like, it's pretty menacing.
I don't think he could really hide because all the trees would be bare.
No, he throws axes through the forest and stuff. It's pretty cool.
It's not canon. Or, it's a fan film. You don't know that he would do that.
I know it's not canon. What I'm saying is, like, that fan film was way cooler than anything else I've seen. I also want to see, like, Jason in Hawaii.
I'm good.
I still know what you did last summer. It's already been done. All these things you want to see, they happened.
Wrong Turn 4. Yeah, I forgot that one was set in the snow.
It's pretty good.
Is it?
It's the third best Wrong Turn movie. Oh, that's going to be the next one I make you guys watch. Wrong Turn 2. That's a good one.
Which one's that?
That's where they have the survival game.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, it's good. Like, there's that scene of... Speaking of boobs in movies, Chris.
This was my first.
There's the scene of that girl, like, down by the water. And she's, like, topless. And one of the hillbilly guys is, like, jerking off to her. And his girlfriend slash sister comes and sees him. And she gets mad, so they fight. And then they make up, so they start doing it. And then these guys like come across them, this inbred family doing it, and they kill them. It's great. That is an actual scene. That
sounds incredible. Sounds absolutely incredible.
That does sound pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, what are you gonna give Freddy versus Jason out of 5 stars?
I'm going to go 2.5.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What did you give Army of the Dead?
Me?
Yeah.
I think I gave it a 2.5, right? Doesn't that sound
right?
This is
as good as Army of the Dead?
Don't fall for it, Chris.
I'm going to say yes.
I guess I can live with that.
I'm also 2.5. And, you know, just for formality's sake, does it go into the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
No. Not
it's
at
a
all.
No for me.
Sorry, you guys hate cinema.
Projection.
Sorry, you hate cinema. That's all I
need to
say.
I need to get a soundboard just so I can get the Reggie clip or the Randy Jackson clip of "It's a No for Me, Dog."
It's a No for Me, Dog.
Sorry, Zach. Your perfect streak's over.
Let's see, what will you watch next time?
Isn't it my choice next?
Because I want you to know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cannibal Holocaust is coming.
It's
that I'm totally fine with.
I will not watch that movie. I don't care what the circumstances are. I'll never watch that movie again.
It's coming.
And I assume so will you be, you sick fuck.
Don't come. Don't come.
I'm coming.
I'm coming.
I'm going to watch that again right now. That's great.
Did you guys watch anything else this week? Or the last couple weeks?
Let's see. I think so.
That is pretty funny.
Oh my god.
Oh, I mean, this was a couple weeks removed now, but I know you guys watched it. Last time Noah was here, we watched Mitchell vs. the Machines.
What'd you think?
Yep, I've seen that.
As a general idea, I liked it, but I thought it was, like, way too long.
Yep.
Like, I don't know what the deal is here with, like, recent, like, kids' movies being, like, close to 2 hours. Because I feel like the people that make these movies have never watched a movie with a kid. But, like, I got up, Noah got up to pee, and I was like, oh, I mean, like, we gotta be wrapping this up. And there was still 55 minutes left. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what are they, like, the end, like, fight between the robots goes on for way too long. But ultimately, I did, I mean, I liked it. I liked the animation quite a bit. I liked just, like, the family dynamic I thought was pretty good. I do think the family road trip stuff at the beginning kind of drags on for a bit too long. Probably could have trimmed that up right there.
I remember that taking so long for them to get to the headquarters and to, like, try to dismantle the robots.
It does. But then you wouldn't have had that beautiful journey between the father and the daughter.
You would still get the same effect.
I don't think you would.
It's also a kid's movie. Like, it's fine if you don't explore all the deep channels of their relationship.
I don't, but that's the thing, though, is that, like, I find that animated movies these days, as much as they are geared towards kids, they've started to realize that adults are watching them, too, so they're becoming more and more, you know, accessible? No. More and more interpretable for adults.
Well, I tell you what, Chris, I didn't have to pay attention for this movie, because before anything funny would happen or anything cool would happen, nobody would go, oh, you gotta watch this part. This part's really good.
Like, oh, he had seen it before?
He had already seen it, apparently. So, like, after, like, the fourth time, he was like, oh, watch this. This is really funny. I was like, have you seen this? And he's like, yeah, like, four times. And I was like, oh, cool. So that's Mitchell versus the Machines.
I think Luca is only supposed to be 90 minutes. So they're finally trimming up some.
Isn't Raya and the Last Dragon like 2 hours too?
Yep, it is. It's super long. I fell asleep towards the end.
They're fucked. They're so fucked.
Yeah. But like I said, Luca's supposed to be 90, so we'll see. That could be much more tolerable. Chris, you got anything this week?
Yeah, I watched a couple things. Let me pull up my little list here. I watched a Netflix animated movie called Wish Dragon.
What is it?
It was basically, I believe, Chinese version of Aladdin. Or maybe Aladdin was based on Wish Dragon? I don't know. But either way, it's about this kid who is pure of heart. So this god gives him a teapot with a wishing dragon inside. And the wishing dragon was like this old emperor who was obsessed with money. So he's on his 10th person, his 10th master. And once he finishes his 10th master, he can go up to the spirit world. So this guy, kid who's pure of heart, just is trying to, like in Aladdin, get this girl to notice him, who's now famous and all this shit. But then as the movie goes along, they slowly get more and more bonded, and the dragon starts to realize that money isn't about everything, but the kid finds it difficult to get the girl without money, so they kind of swap perspectives after a certain point, and so on and so forth. But the movie's entertaining. It's got some decent animation. It's got some good messages. It just kind of seems a little bland at times, and there's not enough entertaining interactions with the dragon itself, which is something I wanted throughout the movie. But all in all, I thought it was a decent animated flick.
What year is it from?
This year. I'm pretty sure it was released semi-recently. But it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I think it's especially if you have a kid, it's a good way to kill. I think an hour and 45 minutes.
Still long.
I finally got around to checking out Chernobyl, the HBO miniseries. And I would highly recommend it. I really enjoyed it. Basically, opens with the disaster at Chernobyl, and then the next, I think it's only 5 episodes, maybe it's 6. And then, so after the first episode, then it's just sort of about the cleanup attempts and the, the lasting effects of this. And so Jared Harris plays a nuclear physicist who they hire to sort of try to help clean things up. And Stellan Skarsgård plays a representative in the Russian government. And so basically the two of them are trying to convince the Russian government that this is a very big deal. And so behind closed doors, the Russian government sort of acknowledges that this is a thing that they need to take care of. But to the public, they try to downplay it. So there's like a lot of like, just super like anxiety, like cringy stuff where like, you know, like these people need certain resources to like try to put a cap on what's happening, but the Russian government's trying to play ignorant to the world, so they can't or they won't call in any outside help to try to contain it. And there's just like a lot of like interesting balance throughout the show of like, you know, sitting in a boardroom with like 10 people and then being like, you know, there's like this one scene where they need, basically what's happening is that they had this idea to put out the fire, but then what ended up happening was is they didn't account for this certain thing, so the nuclear waste was like leaking, was like literally burning through the factory, and it was gonna about to mix in with the water, like the water table, so it would have polluted essentially everybody in a incredibly far radius. So what they did was is they had this idea that they need to send these engineers in to go turn off the water that's pumping in the system, so that it won't keep heating up the nuclear waste. But basically they're like, so we have an idea that we have to do this, and they're like, oh, that's a great idea, and they're like, oh, but just to let you know, like every single engineer that we send in there will die from this. And then them just being like, yeah, okay, whatever you got to do, do it. And then it will show like the perspective of like the people putting their lives on the line to go in and like try to stop it, and basically like be like unsung heroes essentially, because if they don't, if nobody does like what they all do, like just these random people coming together just to like do something bigger than themselves, like this would have all gone to shit. So it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
I've still haven't gotten to it.
Yeah, it was just like one night, Rich and I got home. It was like a Saturday night, and she was like working on like this drawing that she's working on, and I was like, "Fuck, I've been really wish I've just been meaning to check this out, so I'm just gonna throw it on." And yeah, I was hooked. So I ended up like watching the whole thing essentially over a weekend.
Cool.
Yeah, and they sort of get into like the sun. If you're interested, it's kind of like, I just think it's kind of fascinating. So I was super interested. But they basically like kind of went in, like, well, like a dumbed down version for the audience, but kind of go into a little bit like how the whole thing went to hell. And I thought that was fascinating because I never knew the story, but how it got to that point that this thing got fucked up.
I have a book about Chernobyl, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I figured it had to do something with like human greed, and like that's basically what it is.
Chernobyl is just the Russian Area 51.
No.
No.
Yep.
But it's crazy. I guess there's it's crazy to think of, so they had to build this huge metal dome over it to contain the radiation, and that thing's got to stay on there for still another 100 years.
Yeah, it's under a big dome, isn't it?
Yeah, huge metal dome. Which then it's got me thinking about. There's this documentary. I think his name is Michael Madsen is the name of the director, but it's not the actor that's in the Tarantino movies.
Yes, good old Michael Madsen.
But he has this documentary about.
It's called The Visit.
He does have that, which is good. But then there's another one where they sort of talk about, how do you tell future generations from now to not fuck with nuclear waste, essentially. So because even if we die, that waste will still be burning for will still be toxic for thousands of years. So there's this interesting thing of how do you communicate to future generations that might not even potentially speak the same language that we do now? How do you communicate to them to not fuck with this stuff?
Stupid.
Okay.
What?
Language is a progressive thing, so that when you communicate to the next generation, they're going to understand. If you were talking to somebody thousands from years from now, sure, I get it might be difficult. But to the next generation, and then they communicate to the next generation, and so on and so forth.
There's always going to be overspill of people that existed within both generations that can communicate these kinds of things.
I think it's more from the perspective of, if there was some tragic event, how would you communicate? This and so I think it's the assumption of if you're going to nuclear energy and it all goes to shit and we kill ourselves, how do you talk to something else, or it's another visitor from another planet or something like that?
Well, if we all kill ourselves, who the fuck cares about nuclear waste? It won't matter at that point.
Nuclear waste is, I'd imagine, that's pretty universal from planet to planet, considering the rules of the universe are probably finite.
Oh yeah, Chris, you think you know how nuclear energy works on other planets?
I'm just saying, I feel as if it's pretty standard across the board. It exists and might interact with on different planets in a different way, but maybe it's relatively dangerous to some and not dangerous to others, but that doesn't matter, because if it's dangerous to us, that probably means that there are some beings out there where it's dangerous to them too.
Maybe I'm alone here, but if I'm dead, I don't care. That's your problem to figure out.
Fucking God. Maybe we could just figure out a way to handle nuclear waste in a smart way so that we can tell people in the future.
Do not touch.
Yeah. We'll just leave stickers on everything.
Yeah, what if we just did the hand with the circle crossing it out? That's got to be universal, thousands of years from now.
Just no. No. Do not touch. Or just a thumbs down. Bad.
No, sir. Are you going to watch Chernobyl Diaries next?
I've always been curious, so maybe.
That's the one about the people who go to visit Chernobyl, right?
Yeah.
And then they find out that Chernobyl is just a Russian Area 51.
So, here's a question. Is it true...
Ignoring Mike's statement.
Is it true that there are, illegal tours into Chernobyl?
Yes.
Is that an actual thing?
Yes.
Why?
Probably because you see some shit that you won't see on the regular tour.
But if you're allowed in, normally, why would you need to do the illegal one?
Like I said, I think they take you to places and show you things that you're not going to see on the regular tour.
That's what I'm saying, is that you're going to get the better experience, you know? Like, sure, I can go and have somebody just pee on me for fun, but if you pay somebody to pee on you, at that point it's prostitution, but there's a reason people do it.
Because if you paid me $10 for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then I peed on you for free, it's not prostitution.
No, but if I'm paying you for the peanut, that's a front, Zach. You've just described a front.
Well, a front's not prostitution.
No, that's a different crime.
You gotta prove it.
It's called cleaning your money.
You gotta prove it.
Oh my gosh.
I should use the deli as a front.
For what?
It's a great.
Use someone else's business as a front?
Yeah, I'll just launder money.
You'll just be giving free money to them.
Yeah, but they don't need to know. I'll do it as tips. I'll do it as cash
tips.
It's
like Harvest Moon. It's like, oh, I noticed you guys needed 3 brand new ovens, so I just went ahead and put that on the books for you.
It's like, well, you'll never believe it. Someone came in and gave us a $10,000 cash tip. That's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't stuff all the $100 bills in our tip jar.
So I just put them in my back pocket and left. It was great.
I watched Accepted, starring Justin Long and a young Jonah Hill.
Good call.
Very young Jonah Hill.
So, this was the interesting thing that I pointed out to Autumn as we were watching it, which is that this movie came out in 2006, and Justin Long is a high school senior / college freshman. 6 years prior to this movie coming out, he played in Jeepers Creepers, in which we established him as halfway through college. This timeline's not working out here.
But he's one of those guys that just doesn't age. Like, Justin Long is always the same age.
Actually, I think in 2021 he still looks like he wasn't accepted.
That's what I'm saying.
Also, the entire premise of this movie assumes that there's no such thing as financial aid, because there's no way you could just go to a fake college without financial aid. But...
Zach, you're telling me that's not showing up on your FAFSA?
Oh, where would you... What? Enter your school's code so we can send their financial information. South Harmon Institute of Technology. That school doesn't exist. Oh, okay. Well, I guess this is over with. Like, that's the movie. But no, I like what the movie is getting at. You know, like, alternative routes of education and how... The main way may not be the best way for a lot of people. I think the best comedy comes from Lewis Black, who I forgot was in this movie.
Oh my god, that's right. Isn't he like the fake principal they hire?
Yeah, he's hilarious.
The dean?
He's he's teaching one class, and you go, someone asks him about like taxes, and he's like, they was like, oh, like, how do taxes work? He's like, taxes. I'll tell you about taxes. He's like, if you're rich, they'll protect every dollar you make and every shit you take.
He was a perfect cast for that role.
Yeah, he's pretty great in it. A young Blake Lively is in the movie, too.
I was just wondering if that was her. Yeah. I couldn't remember. Is this pre-Ryan Reynolds?
This would have been pre-Ryan Reynolds, probably maybe just after Gossip Girl fame.
You think Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds met through Jake Long, because they were both in Jake Long movies. Justin Long. You think they were both, because they were both in Justin Long movies. Ryan Reynolds and Justin Long were in that movie where they play waiters, like Waiting.
I think Justin Long is in a Ryan Reynolds movie in Waiting.
No.
I don't really know if that's a Justin Long movie.
I would say Justin Long at the point that movie came out was a bigger name than Ryan Reynolds.
You're wrong.
No way. Just what was Ryan Reynolds in at that point?
Just Friends would have come out already.
And maybe that one movie.
Plus, wasn't he in a sitcom as well?
Justin Long?
No, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, was he? I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. You look at Ryan Reynolds, even in the Just Friends waiting time period, he looks like a leading man. Justin Long's been supporting character his whole life.
You know someone that the world really left behind? Who? Dane Cook.
Yikes. Yeah. Didn't he steal jokes?
He got accused of stealing some Louis C.K. jokes. But they
addressed that. There's a reason he's not around anymore.
They addressed that on the show Louis, where like they said that like he forgot that he forgot that the premise of the joke came, like he heard it from Louis, and he thought that it was his own joke because he wrote it down because he thought it was funny, but like it was in his subconscious from Louis or something.
Like Carlos Mencia, like he stole jokes.
Different. Carlos Mencia was a straight up thief. Like that wasn't accidental. That was very much intentional.
Who he steal jokes from?
Everybody and anybody, but he stole this one joke from Ari Shaffir about how they want to build a wall in Mexico, and they were wondering who they would get to build the wall, but it would have to be the Mexicans they get to build the wall. But Carlos Mencia stole that joke from Ari Shaffir, and there was like a plethora of other things. You can go on YouTube and you can find like compilations of like joke after joke, like almost verbatim.
You can also find the video of Joe Rogan calling him out publicly.
Oh, fuck. I forgot that video existed.
Which is a great video.
That might have been where I got the... Yeah, that is a great video. Gosh, that's a really good YouTube video.
Next Hall of Fame review?
You put it up there. I'll vote, yeah.
Because have you watched any of the Michael Che show on HBO?
No, not yet.
I'm curious about it. I think he's funny.
Oh my gosh, he's hilarious. Like, I remember when Seth Meyers was doing the news report on SNL, I was not into that. But then when I saw, like, Michael Che picked up that, I started watching a couple episodes, and I thought it was hilarious.
Have you ever seen his bit about, he's talking about how he's not homophobic, but he's not going to judge you if you are?
No, never.
It's like, I'm not homophobic, but I don't know your story. Maybe you are, but, you know, I don't know what you deal with every day. Maybe you've got some real spooky gay guys in your neighborhood that I don't know about.
Oh, fucking gosh. That's funny. You know what Justin Long did the voice of? Hmm. He did the voice of Alvin in Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
Very interesting. What else did you watch, Chris?
I watched... Shoot, one second. Let me get to my list. I watched I started the Pokemon Indigo League on Netflix.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
How's that?
I've been on a Pokemon kick lately. It's
You're getting deep into this.
I've been playing Pokemon Go. I beat the new Pokemon Sword game, and I... Yeah, dude, I've been watching Pokemon Indigo League. It's so cheesy. I could see myself enjoying it if I was like,
hi,
7 years old. But yeah, high works too. But to cover over that and jump onto something else, I watched the movie Sandlot, and I gotta say, I freaking love that movie.
I just have a quick question. Pokemon related. Is this the beginning to you getting back into your anime phase?
Yeah, I never left that. If I gotta be completely honest. I like touch on it here and there, but like, I don't know. I watched the entirety of Naruto, and that was exhausting getting to the end, so I've decided I'm not gonna I'm not going to commit myself to any long-term animes because I watched One Piece, but I got, like, to a certain length into it, and then I saw how many episodes there were after that, and I was like, I'm fucking done, because they've reached over 1,000 episodes for that show.
Of Naruto?
No, Naruto only had 700, including Naruto Shippuden. But there was a lot of filler that I skipped over.
So then you haven't seen every episode?
I haven't seen every single episode, but I've seen every episode of the main
arc. How many fucking seasons of Naruto is there?
They don't do it by seasons. At that point, they're just doing straight up episode a week.
Well, how do they release him, though?
An episode a week.
And it's just... There's no breaks? Nothing? They don't stop for anything? They just fucking
sometimes,
go?
Sometimes. I mean... When
did this show first come out?
Late 90s is when Naruto came out until the 2000 and something, and then they took a little bit between breaks because there was Naruto, and then there was Naruto Shippuden, which was like the second show of the same timeline? Entire universe. Yeah, but it was like 2 or 3 years after, so there was a time gap between.
But when Naruto first came out,
mm-hmm.
they just released an episode. They just kept cranking out episodes. They never stopped for like a season break, nothing.
They may have taken like a break here and there, but like nothing really crazy. No. It's not like they were like, okay, we're going to release 20 episodes of season one, take like a 3-month break, 20 more episodes, so on and so forth. Like, I've noticed that consistently with those type of shows, they just release and release and release and release. Like, there's this one show that I haven't seen the entire thing, but it's called Black Clover, where like they've released like 100 and some odd episodes, and they were consistently pumping one out like every single week, but there have been like 2-week gaps here and there between episodes. But they consistently release a new episode every week.
Is One Piece the pirate show?
Yeah. I just remember when I was a kid on a Cartoon Network, they would always have like an anime hour or something where they'd always show like 2 or 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z, a couple episodes of Naruto, and then a couple episodes of One Piece. Oh, yeah.
All right, but anyways, what did you say you were watching?
Yeah, I'm not proud of myself. But anyways, I watched The Sandlot.
That's what you said.
I love The Sandlot.
It did not make it into your top 100, though.
No, it didn't. But I really love The Sandlot. I've come to find, if I were to ever make movies, I wouldn't want to make movies that end sad or have many elements of them being sad. I just want to make fun movies from beginning to end.
Like Paddington?
No, not like Paddington. Like, I'd want to have
movies like Schindler's List.
Yeah, great time, beginning, middle, and end. I would want to make movies like The Sandlot and Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones. Like, they're all just fun from beginning, middle, end. The Goonies.
You know, you want to make
Spielberg movies.
Huh? Yeah, okay, but like,
you just want to be Spielberg.
But like, minus Bridge of Spies, War Horse, and Schindler's List.
Lincoln.
Yeah,
Minority Report.
No Minority Report.
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One I would consider in my group.
The world has been destroyed.
No War of the Worlds. Yeah, but like in a fun way.
No Jaws, no Close Encounters, no The Color Purple, no Munich.
Amistad.
No Amistad. No Empire of the Sun. Oh, so you're really cherry picking here.
I am. The man knows how to make a feel good whimsical movie.
Like that's Rob Zombie.
Yep.
Speaking of,
mm.
officially confirmed, Rob Zombie's doing The Monsters.
Yeah, I did hear this. Is it animated?
No.
Or live action?
Should be live action.
should be interesting.
Can't wait to see Sherry Moon Zombie as Mrs. Munster.
Is that what they're saying?
Well, she's the only female character. Besides the daughter, I would assume it's going to be Sherry Moon Zombie.
It's true. I'd watch it. I will watch it. I'm sure we will review it.
I'd watch it like 50 times.
Is it a movie or are they doing a TV show?
I think it's a movie, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's still doing like episodes.
Okay.
I think it's a movie. Let's see. I watched Shiva Baby, directed by Emma Seligman. Came out this year. It is about it's about this Jewish college girl who goes to a shiva, and if you don't know what a shiva is, which I did not, I had to look it up. It's like a week of mourning for someone that passes away in the Jewish community, and so it starts on like the opening day, and so the thing is that the lead character in the movie, she is just about to graduate college, or is about to go to college? No, graduate college. Yeah, she's about to graduate college, and in order for her to pay money, she's been basically like prostituting herself.
So
the movie opens like with her on like a meetup, right? And she gets paid, and then she goes to the shiva, and then come to find out the person that she's been hooking up with shows up at the shiva. So awkwardness ensues, and it's pretty funny and it's pretty good.
Do they end up being family?
No.
Okay.
It's her brother.
It's her brother.
Their dad died.
This is really wrong turn five. No. Not related, just happens to know the same people. But no, it's pretty funny. I really liked it. The lead actress is quite good. I think this might be like her first role, her first major role, at least. So she's really good. Just some very cringy, like awkward stuff that you definitely feel for. And I would definitely recommend it.
Cool.
Zach?
I'm done.
Chris, what do you got?
Last one I watched was Wayne's World 2.
Skip Wayne's good. World?
It was there. It's not as good as Wayne's World 1. Not even close. Although there is that funny scene where they have the person who's sponsoring their TV show on, and they have the signs where it's like, this guy eats horse penis, or like goat penis, or whatever it says. That's funny, but overall, that's, I don't know, it's just not as good.
I've been thinking about how I want to watch Wayne's World again.
Wayne's World is a 10 out of 10.
Wayne's World's so funny.
Yeah, but now you're top 100, Chris.
Not my... Keep bringing that up, dude.
Are you regretting your top 100 by any chance?
I gotta relook at my top 100 list and see what I got on there. Cause I don't really remember like 80 through 100.
That's what you want to hear in a top 100.
One fifth of my list I don't remember. I don't remember the order. I remember I had the rocker in there somewhere.
I see.
The one movie I regret not putting in there was Legally Blonde.
Yep.
Have you never seen Wayne's World before?
Me? Oh my gosh, I've seen Wayne's
World. No, Jacob.
No, I've seen it. I haven't seen the second one.
Oh.
It's okay.
I don't think I've ever seen the second one either, but the first one's good.
It's like seeing Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. It's just like the first one is clearly better. Although Ghostbusters 2 is dynamite too.
So one's decent, the other one's a piece of shit?
Wayne's World 2, I'm not saying it's a piece of shit. It's just like... One
is that, if that was, if your analogy is Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. So one of them's decent, the other one's a piece of shit.
So you're saying that one's a piece of shit.
I'm saying the first Ghostbusters is decent, it's fine.
Yeah.
But Ghostbusters 2 is a piece of shit.
No, Ghostbusters 2 is not a piece of shit. Ghostbusters 2 is still dynamite. It's just noticeably not as good.
Just You're less right, explosive it is, dynamite.
It is noticeably not as good.
It's like a dud dynamite that didn't go off.
I would say it still had an explosion, just it was more of like a boom and not like a boom, you know?
Yeah, I see. Are we going to review Saint Maud at any time?
Maybe.
Because I would say I watched Saint Maud as well, finally. This was scheduled to be released like 2 years ago. Maybe more like a year or more ago. But because of the COVID pandemic, they kept putting it off, and finally they just finally released it on Hulu. I liked it. It certainly wasn't exactly what I was expecting. But I still enjoyed it. So it's about this girl who now goes by Maud, and she is a hospice nurse. And so, and she's just recently have found religion in her life to sort of cope with this tragedy that happens that you learn about as the movie goes on. So she ends up being this live-in nurse for this sort of like wealthier woman who's dying. And she basically kind of takes it upon herself that she wants to save this woman's soul. And so the woman plays along, and then, you know, after Maud finds out that she was kind of fucking with her the whole time, she kind of goes off the deep end. And it's definitely like an interesting, like, sort of like religious look about like how like a person might turn to religion to essentially like forget about traumas in their past and not necessarily deal with them head on, and sort of like how that can boil up. And it was good. Like the ending is, probably, I think like the ending is like probably is like where it's at its strongest. And it's just a good little character piece. And the girl that plays Maud is like really good. She's like the sort of perfect, like reserved person that like could snap. Huh. And then lastly, I'll mention I watched the HBO show that everyone's going crazy about, Mayor of Easttown.
The Witches of Eastwick?
The Witches of Eastwick. The Witches of Breastwick. It's porno. Mayor of Easttown is also pretty good. It's only like 7 episodes, I think. I would say not as good as Chernobyl. But I found myself being sucked into the story. And basically, it's just about it's Kate Winslet, and she plays this detective in this small town called Easttown. It's in Pennsylvania. And when the show opens, there was this girl who went missing like a year ago in the town, and the police still haven't found her. And so there's a lot of pressure from the community to find her, and they really question the police force and, like, you know, their capability of handling things. And then a girl ends up murdered. So so that's kind of where the series takes off. And you see, there's just like basically kind of just explores like the dark secrets of a small town. You know, something we've seen plenty of times, nothing that's new. But I think what is good about it is just like, I think the character of Mare is quite good. And Kate Winslet does a great job. Basically just echoing what everyone says on the internet. If they're not lying, they're so when they say that she's quite good. I think the only thing for me, I think like the ending is somewhat of a wet noodle. And then there's definitely some weird like pacing stuff in the show, like when they choose to reveal certain things, and then there's definitely a couple moments where it's like, okay, now that they've wrapped this up, like where are they gonna go from here? And like sometimes it's intriguing, and other times it's, you know, it's just not as interesting. But all in all, I still liked it and thought it was good. And, you know, if you're looking for something to watch, you know, looking to scratch that television itch, then yeah, I'd say give it a poke.
I get an itch, but I think it's about my time to watch The Sopranos.
Yeah, 20 years late to the party. 30 years late to the party.
I want to watch it before The Many Saints of Newark comes out, because that like comes out in a couple months.
What's The Many Saints of Newark?
It's like a prequel movie where James Gandolfini, like Tony Soprano, is played by James Gandolfini's son.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
Is this going to HBO, or is this like a going to theaters movie?
I assume it's going to HBO.
Hmm.
Well, it might get to the theaters, too.
Interesting. Nothing else for you guys to watch?
That's it.
I'm good.
Now, what do you guys want to do next week? Or what's your thoughts about going back to the theaters? You try not to go back? Like, still playing it safe?
I'm not going back until everything goes back to normal.
I see. Okay. Oh, because probably not in Maine, right?
I mean, everything's fine in Maine. It's just more of like a personal experience thing for me.
Yeah, fair enough. I just keep thinking about how I want to watch A Quiet Place 2.
Just do it.
I mean, I might ultimately just end up doing it.
I don't even know when it's supposed to come out.
It's already been out for like a couple weeks now. That's the only thing out worth. That's the only thing out worth that I want to go check out. Everything else is just meh.
What's on next week? What are we doing?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess let's talk.
You got any suggestions?
Talk about it.
Not really.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's new to streaming. So.
We could do, like, a movie that none of us have ever seen before in the past, and we could see if it's actually good or not.
Like what?
Freddy versus Jason?
Just do that one more time.
You know what movie, I've really wanted to watch that just sort of slipped through the cracks? Is A Cure for Wellness.
Cure for Wellness?
I was going to say... This could be the time to do the Before trilogy.
That's true too. Yeah, I'll be down to do that.
I was going to say Citizen Kane, but Before trilogy sounds good.
Do the Before trilogy, and then episode 110 is Twilight Time.
Are those voodoo accessible?
No, not that I'm aware of. All
right.
I didn't get the digital codes of any of them, so. Because 60% of them were used.
Let's see, Chris. Voodoo.com.
I mean, I guess I have to buy them, I will, but.
Hey, $5 on Amazon.
Sure.
Get the series for $25.
That's not bad.
Because we're getting guests on this, right? We're getting Alyssa and. I'm blanking on your girlfriend's name, Zach. Autumn.
Yeah.
Because Autumn and...
Twilight head?
Apparently.
Oh, man. Was she Team Edward or Team Jacob? Because, we're going to have some problems if she wasn't a wolf fan.
Of course, I'm not a wolf fan.
We're going to have some problems if she's not a... Edward fan.
I was Team Jacob all the way.
Fuck Jacob, he's so goddamn annoying. Are you kidding me? Taylor Lautner.
And Team Edward with his "You smell so good." You smell so good, Bella. You know that wasn't annoying?
Yeah, but Jacob's more annoying.
Whatever.
I don't want to get into it now, Chris. We've got two episodes before that.
Are we splitting that into a two episode, or is that just like
no, that's part one, part two. We go as long as necessary.
If it's 5 hours, it's 5 hours.
Do what we gotta do. Okay.
But yeah, I'm down to do the Before trilogy next week.
Yeah, let's do that then.
One thing I gotta mention. 4th of July weekend, Friday, Saturday, Monday, I'm gonna be in Vermont.
Cool.
So, wanted to inform you guys of...
Well, then we can do the Before trilogy.
Because I'm definitely going to need some time to watch the 5 Twilight movies. I don't think I can crush them all at once. Like, I'm going to need a little bit of time to space.
You're not
going to
do it back to back to back to back to back?
I gonna try, but I just got a feeling I'm gonna be like, I need a break for a second.
You're gonna get three movies in, and Rachel's gonna be like, Jake, are you okay? And you'll just be like, just leave me alone. Just give me some time.
I would say let's do the before trilogy and then just do Twilight after the 4th of July.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'm moving this weekend, so maybe you can shoot for, like, next weekend to record?
Should be fine.
So that I can, like, watch them during throughout the week, and then we can record over the weekend?
I got Friday. Friday, we could do Friday. Next Friday?
That
hey,
might...
guys, what about next Friday?
We'll see. I guess it depends on how much I can get my stuff moved in and then watch them.
Okay.
But... tentatively next Friday, yes. Well, as always, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Come back next week for our review of the Before trilogy, which I'm very excited about. I've never seen them before. I know you both have. And then just slip in one email just for Chris. We don't want him to die before 110. We need him. We need him for Twilight.
I just need one email. Like, just one. You can send whatever you want. You can be a Nigerian prince for all I care. Just send one email.
Because we already got that email.
What? You got a Nigerian prince email?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we read it live on the show.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I remember the email from Chris's mom telling us to stop picking on him.
That's true. Maybe your mom will send us another email.
You guys are awful.
It's your mom. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure. What's the password for...
I have no idea.
You don't know?
We could have 100 emails by now.
Keep staying safe out there. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you guys realize that we're slowly approaching, like, the generation that doesn't understand old Greg?
Yeah, wild.
No, trust me, I know. I was at work the other day, and there was a woman who came in, and she referenced Salad Fingers.
That's even older.
I know, and there was a... she referenced Salad Fingers to her kid, and her kid was just like, what? I was like, fuck, they don't know what Salad Fingers is, and they're like 13, 14 years old.
I mean, even I was pretty young when Salad Fingers was a thing, so I'm not that surprised that it slipped to the wayside. But I feel like old Greg was like high school.
No, that was middle school, dude.
Middle school for us would have been high school for Jacob.
Yeah, I'm 2 years older than you.
Oh, you're 2 years. No, I'm pretty sure I knew about that sixth grade. I don't know. You know what YouTube video I thought was so stupid that got popular was Ray's Last Jump?
Bye. No, you shut Ray. Your mouth. That video is great.
Dude, old Greg was 2008.
Yeah.
Yikes. Chris, have you watched any of their other videos?
No, I think Ray is stupid, dude.
Dude, are you dumb?
No. It's first off, it's 6 minutes and 45 seconds. Like, that's too much.
Oh my god, dude. Do you guys watch the Great British Baking Show?
Seen it before.
Oh my god, hold on. I need to text Rachel immediately.
Why?
This isn't...
What happened?
Okay, so the host of the Great British Baking Show, which Rachel and I watch, he is old Greg.
No, he's not.
The guy with the black hair?
Yeah, that's old Greg.
Fuck you, it is.
I swear to God.
It does kind of look like him.
Oh my gosh, I just looked up old Greg and it said the Mighty Bush episode, season 2, episode 5. That was part of a bigger show?
Yeah, old the Greg Mighty isn't like its own thing.
It's a sketch. It's like a sketch comedy show.
I thought it was just like an individual YouTube video that somebody decided to put out.
No, they've got other ones too. They're super fucking weird and dark. Yeah, there's a crack fox, which is pretty funny.
That's weird, dude. How old is the fucking Candy Mountain Charlie video?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't even know what that video is.
The one with like the little like horses, and they're like, "Let's go to Candy Mountain, Charlie."
Oh, yeah, I have no idea.
And then like steal his kidney or something.
What about, the Numa Numa video? When are people going to forget about that?
Damn, are you kidding me?
Even earlier than that. 14
years old. 14 years old. Oh my gosh. I used to have every single, motion to that video memorized.
Well, I mean, it looks like you're the one that put out the video, so...
I would be honored. That's not even an insult. I would be honored to be him. My freaking gosh, I love this guy. Can I share this to Instagram? No, fucking stupid.
What do you think he's doing right now?
Probably working like an accounting job.
He's probably doing that fucking dance.
You think he's trying to figure out like what the follow up is?
I bet he was forever. Oh my
God. So much pressure to follow that. It's like a billion views.
Apparently this guy is like, hold on, is it this guy?
What's the name of that video?
It's just called Numa Numa. This one in I really like this one, and then the two Chinese guys that sang Backstreet Boys.
50 million views.
Yeah.
This video came out in 2006. Oh my god.
We're all slowly inching towards oblivion.
Hold on.
Dying.
14 years ago, there was indeed Numa Numa 2.
Oh boy.
Got 19 million views.
Now the question is, do you think that guy was intentionally filming a video?
Yes.
Probably. It's very choreographed.
Okay. Do you know what I learned for the first? That Leroy Jenkins video is made up. Like, that was staged.
What?
I mean, isn't it like a Call of Duty game?
Yeah, they're playing World of Warcraft.
That kind of makes sense.
I had always thought it was like a real thing that had happened. But I learned a couple years ago that it was just a thing. They did it as a joke. They just wanted to see like if they could get people to believe that had actually happened.
Success, well, buddy.
You believed it, so they did a good job.
Yeah, I believe it, so they got me. It was funny because they were like, they said that like, they're like, yeah, there's no way that anybody would believe this is real. And then everybody did, so they just like kind of just went along with it.
It's like the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Except like better.
Except better, Zach.
I would say Leroy Jenkins is better than Blair Witch Project.
Well, yeah, they're quite comparable, honestly, so.
I don't know. All right, thumbs up. Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, I guess it kind of makes sense. Like, people now don't have any idea what those videos are. Then the videos that are popular today, like, people reference, and I have no idea what they are, so. Kind of fits.
Yep. You know what thing I'm really starting to hate? I hate that Instagram is now nothing but TikTok videos. Like, if I wanted TikTok, I would get a TikTok, but I don't. I want to see pictures of shit. And all it is TikTok.
Listen, if you want to start a social networking platform that's based around shit pictures, I'm your man.
And it's like the videos I see.
DailyDumps.com?
What'd you say?
DailyDumps.com?
Yes. It's exactly what I'm talking about.
And you know what's even more... what's more annoying is that all the videos that I see is there... Like, one person, right, does a TikTok where they do this dance move, and then there's, like, 50 iterations of people doing that dance. That's all it is, Chris. That's all I fucking see, and I want to kill myself.
No, my favorite thing is that, like, the people that get really famous on TikTok, suddenly, like, quit everything that they're doing because they think that they can just be a TikTok person, and it's like, this is going to burn out so fast.
There's been like three people that have made money off of TikTok.
That's like, not seriously. Even true, Chris. You are like a liar. Three
people. No, you're there's
actually
like
lying right now.
There are some people that have made some serious money off of doing this shit. There are like three of them.
No, let's look. You're just literally just talking out your ass right now.
How many people do you think have made money off of TikTok?
I'm going to literally look.
In the thousands.
No, but before you look, how many are you guessing?
In the thousands.
Chris, you said three people. There is a list of 20 that make over $5,000 on the app.
Only $5,000?
A month?
Only Chris, do you make $5,000 a month?
No.
There you go. So shut up.
I'm not making TikToks. I could if I wanted to.
Oh, okay. This is the Chris Classic argument. Like, I'm not doing that, but I could if I wanted to.
I'm just saying. Okay, let's put it this way. I'm a big guy. I could get on there, take my shirt off, and shake my jiggly bits around a little bit, and I would have 100,000 views first video. Guaranteed.
You think so?
If you take your shirt off and jiggle your belly, is that what you said?
Yeah, dude. Jiggle my jiggly bits. That's all I would need to do to get 100,000 views. See, you're laughing at the thought of it.
Do you put pasties on your nipples?
That's what I'm saying. 100,000 views.
Do you remember the video of, like... Do you remember the videos of, like... He was, like, a chunkier guy. I think he was, like, a little bit mentally slow, kind of bald. And he did all these videos. And he had the one where he's, like... in his underwear, and he does the song. He's like, "Go, my son, go and climb a ladder." You guys remember this?
I
don't remember that. No.
Yeah, and he's like steps up on a chair, and he's like walking around. And he's like, "Go, my son, go and climb a ladder." And he's like, "Go, my son, and lift your people out," or something like that. Stupid. Zach, I'm glad you remember this.
Chris, do you remember the chubby cupcake boy?
Yes, I do. Yes, dude, I do.
That was 13 years ago. That
video. That was 13 years.
Yeah.
I remember there was one day we were at your house. Rachel. There was a video that I just could not stop laughing at. This kid jumping off of his bed onto a medicine ball, and he just launches into this wall.
Yeah, no, classic. No. Chris, have you seen Can I Pet That Dog?
Oh, Can I Pet That Dog?
Can I Pet That Dog?
Yeah. My new favorite video. My new favorite video is an Alex Jones video.
Well, of course. Oh,
are you trying to have sex with me? Are you trying to have sex with me?
That's literally it. Or this one. I really like this one.
Do not come. Do not come.
I'm gonna gum.
Oh,
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I love when two things I don't like come together to make something I do like.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what was going on, but I was scrolling through my Instagram the other day for probably a good hour, and I just found a bunch
of
videos.
That's a long
time. I was bored. It was right before bed, and I wanted to send Alyssa as many videos as possible. So I sent her like 25 videos, and this was one of the ones I found too.
Wilma, will my balls fit in your mouth, son? Kisma, what I hear you say, Kisma dick?
Oh my gosh. It's the simple shit.
It's no too much tuna, but that's pretty good.
Too much tuna is pretty good.
What's too much tuna?
You've never seen Too Much Tuna?
I don't think so.
So it's a sketch that John Mulaney and Nick Kroll do on their Oh Hello show. And basically they invite guests on and they tell them ahead of time that they're going to prank them. So they're sitting like in a diner and they always like really just hype it up. They're like, you're never gonna believe this prank, you're never gonna believe it. And they bring them like the diner waitress like brings them a sandwich that has like a mountain of tuna on it, and it's called Too Much Tuna.
We'll watch that.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and there's like one guy who's like, no, that's not too much tuna, and he just keeps eating the sandwich. God, oh, pretty good.
That was good.
So they like start laughing like, isn't that just way too much tuna? No, it's the right amount.
Oh my gosh.
Do you guys find Nick Kroll funny?
No, but I love John Mulaney.
Oh,
hit or miss. I love Nick Kroll on Big Mouth.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with him just about everywhere else.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's hit or miss for me too. I like him in The League.
I haven't seen The League.
And I do really like him in Parks and Rec, actually, as the douche.
I mean, that is him. Like, that seems just, that's who he is.
Yeah, I do like that character. I think that's pretty funny.
Too much tuna.
All right, you guys want to start recording?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Count us down, Zach.
Three.
Two. Can you make me yawn? Hold on. Okay, try again.
Three, two, one, go.